Hey, it's Vladimira.
And I'm Nectarius.
And this is Naked by the Future Farm.
Join us as we strip entrepreneurship to its vulnerable core.
In today's episode, Vladi and I catch up over the events of the last couple of weeks. Vladi shares her experience of taking herself and her co-founders through an exercise called Constellations, a fascinating tool that allows co-founders and teams to work through conflict, to allow things that have been unsaid to come to the surface and to work through them. We do go back to the important subject of co-founder dynamics and how to navigate them, how to make sure there's enough communication before conflict arises so that the difficult moments become less existential. We also discuss the recent episode with Dr. Ute Stefan and how her research resonated with us, not only from the perspective of the Future Farm, but also from our own personal experience. The direct correlation between stress being a killer and the dissonance for entrepreneurs who can be fulfilled and very stressed at the same time. Lastly, we look into the loneliness that comes with being a founder and the social isolation that many of us are prone to experience, particularly as a solo founder. We hope you enjoy the episode. Please get in touch with questions or suggestions for things you want us to discuss.
And locally?
Locally and globally. That's where yes. We are. Are you local or global, Nectarius, today?
I'm both.
You're both? True. No, that's true. I wonder whether people know what that means, but I think the listeners and the audience that stay with us for a while, they might.
Well, I'm in Greece because I want to have a connection with my culture, which makes it a local element. But I'm talking to you, who's in Pakistan, and I live somewhere else and you live wherever. And our audience is global. So that's why it's a bit of both.
Yes, I'm also local and global. Hello.
We started very differently today.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's good to start without the prepped official intros.
Yes.
Just where we are. How are you? Haven't seen you for a while.
I'm good, properly. Thank you. Yes, we had a quick chat yesterday where I wasn't in the best of places. Today I'm much better. I'm in Greece. I had a week off. And then I've been working from Crete this week, which is, it's nice, but it's also this feeling of it's really nice weather outside and it's a town we haven't been to before and haven't really had the time to explore. So it's a bit of a weird feeling, but overall I'm fine. And I had to put a shirt on for this recording because I've been slouching for most of the other time. Yeah. How are you?
Well, those are things to be jealous of. And please don't make the sin of not going out there and seeing this beautiful places on the earth, you know, just for the sake of all of us who are listening and who are jealous. So enjoy Crete. That's a big question for today, but I'll maybe start. How am I just right now? It's afternoon in Karachi, Pakistan, the usual. And I'm today, right now, I'm doing well. But yeah, I think there's a lot happening. Intense period. Since we talked last time, it made me thought that I'm not sure whether when we've been recording lately, whether it's been different than intense period. I feel like that's a sort of a pattern or tagline, but hopefully not. You can be my sounding board, but
I get it. It's intense, but it's intense for different things happen to cause the intensity.
That is also correct.
Figured one thing out. When people talk about a roller coaster, right? There's the whole point is it goes up and then it goes down and then it goes up again, right? So, but the next hill is a different one from the first hill. So,
we've had maybe just diving into this, we've had interesting experience yesterday with my two other co-founders at Neem. So you remember I told you a long time ago, it actually took me about 18 months to make it happen. But Sarah, my personal therapist, she also engages herself in the work with founders and with the teams. And what they do is they provide safe space for what they call constellations. So just to give you guys an idea what this is, it can feel a little spooky, but basically you provide a little bit of background about who you are and a little bit about the dynamic, but not too much. And then you show up. It was a call, 3 hours call, so on Zoom and everything. And there were about 7 other people who were trained psychologists and participants in the constellation. And basically what happens is that the main facilitator, who was our therapist, Sarah, she facilitates a session where you are represented by one of the constellation participants. And basically 3 of us, Nadim, Naeem, and myself, we were sitting in our chairs here in the same room. We were in the same room and we were watching this soap opera of sort playing out in front of us, where there was someone representing Naeem and Nadim and myself. And woof, it's actually like spooky, magical, and quite powerful. Like, I'm not sure if you've done this before. Have you done constellations?
No, and I've sort of been listening. I heard about this. What mm-hmm. is the purpose of it? Maybe you can also describe yeah. why you did this so we can get a bit of context.
Yeah, sure. So I think we felt as co-founders that we wanted to clear up certain things that came up in our, I guess, dynamic and relationships over the course of the last 3 years. And sometimes we pay attention to them and we talk through them. But I felt, because so I initiated it, is that we will benefit from a third party neutral voice or someone who is an observer of our dynamic to help us ultimately bring on the surface certain things that maybe we are afraid to name or actually even point out, and bring from unconscious to conscious. I think that's really what happened. So during this constellation, the fact that those people don't know you very well, so she allowed us to pick our participants. So I picked from, I think there were like 5 women representative. I picked one for me. And so it wasn't like she pre-selected them or briefed them. During the session, they try to fill you in, which is an interesting experience if it happens digitally. And then Sarah, who knows more about the main therapist, she knows about the dynamics, she brings in subjects and topics. And then the 3 representatives sort of react how they feel, what they're experiencing. And I think the magic and spookiness was in the fact that it was actually very accurate. So the overall experience was, the outcome of it was, I would say, one was really strengthening the bond between 3 of us. Even though I think we were all 3 of us afraid, like, how do we walk out of this? Because I think there was a risk of just bringing something on the surface, which you don't know how to deal with. So that didn't really happen. I think it's strengthened the bond. There were emotions, like there were tears from different participants. There was a lot of surprise and curiosity in terms of what some of the representative felt or sort of thought is authentic to us as people. And yeah, I mean, would I recommend this to people? I would say yes, but do it with someone who is actually really well trained and equipped to guide you through that experience. And the fact that I had such a long-term relationship with Sarah as my therapist, I gave her so much trust, because ultimately we opened up so vulnerably to them yesterday with everything. That was really the sort of scary part. But they beautifully created and held a safe space. And so ultimately it was a positive experience, a little unraveling. There are some things that I'm taking away. But yeah, I thought that was a big one on the side of walking the talk of investing into, you know, co-founders' well-being.
So listening to you, it sounds a bit like you went into a room with a bunch of trained people who had a little information, and then you sort of outsourced the conflict conversations to them.
Yeah, you could look at it that way.
Okay, right. But only so you can actually see how they read you and then observe the conversation that you should be having being had by your avatars. It's a bit like a computer game, right?
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. And you have no control over the process. You just observe.
You can so there are certain moments when the facilitator calls you in for reflection. So there were moments where I could say whether this resonated with me or not. And there were moments where I said this was complete bollocks. And there were moments when I said, like, I had to laugh so badly or so hard how much it was representing reality. So, yeah, but I think I love the virtual reality bit or the avatars. I think that's really what it is. Because sometimes I think that either there are things that we don't see and someone else is able to pick up on and they bring them to the surface, or there are things that we are not yet ready to say and we tiptoe around. That was powerful from that side as well.
It's fast. Two different thoughts. The first one is, and bear with me here, Wei, my husband, when the whole hype about ChatGPT started, he asked ChatGPT, write a story about Nectarius Lyoyos. And then when this thing came out, I was looking at this going, there's so much real stuff in there that was really shocking. There was mention of radish and mental health. And of course, this is just trawling data that's available, right? So there's an element there where I didn't enjoy being so easily describable, right? Because we all think we're individuals and we all think we're special.
Unique.
Yeah. And I'm taking that into what you're describing. So I cannot imagine how it must feel on the one side to see somebody representing you, and on the one side being probably grateful that they bring something, put something on the table that you know should be there, but you haven't done it. But on the other side, also just not liking the fact that they do it, you know, because it's like, it's so predictable? Yeah.
Predictable, yeah. And also very, very vulnerable. There was one moment where we were talking about sort of like next three biggest challenges for the business. And they were also represented by some of the sort of the players or the actors. And one of them was culture. And our representatives were supposed to say which of the challenges they feel they can lead on. And it was so interesting because my representative, even though I sort of look after, nurture the culture, Neem said, culture? What the heck? I don't even know what that means. So I was like sitting back with my mouth open and I was like, interesting. Like, is there something in there? So I think the point was data gathering as well, which you can do without judgment and see whether there is something in there that you are not seeing or saying. And I think that was quite liberating. So constellations, yes, but doing it in a safe space with people who know what they're doing. That would be my sort of reflection. But let's see also what we do with it. At the moment, it's still floating. There is a lot of stuff that has been, as I said, unraveled. And we have a debrief in 3 weeks' time. So I'll tell you then how it's blended.
I think it's interesting that you did this because it is in the context of the Future Farm. It's in the context of finding ways of navigating the challenges. And a lot of it is the unspoken things between co-founders, right?
Yeah.
And that's, if you find a way that is helpful, but also makes it a little bit easier to actually bring these things to the surface, it's amazing. I've been talking to a founder recently who's a textbook startup CEO, like working really hard, being quite aware of their emotional balance, but at the same time working crazy hours, but also keeping a lot of things to themselves rather than sharing them with their co-founders. And now that you talked about this, I thought instantly, I wonder how they would feel if they would go into that room and having somebody actually start the conflict conversation on their behalf. But it's about starting it because they cannot conclude it, right? It's, as you said, is what we do with this. But it's a worry for me to look at these guys and go, I wish you found a way to actually be more aware of the tension that you have and the need to come to the surface, because that's what you've done with the constellation conversation.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think so much of those hidden underlying emotions and dynamics we also carry into other parts of our life, right?
Mm-hmm.
They spill over. So I think even from that perspective, it felt quite cleansing in a way. So you don't have to carry too much of masks, or hopefully any. Maybe that's too ambitious, but yeah, it's certainly an interesting one. I'm really happy, just maybe one last thought on this, is on the co-founder dynamic. I'm really happy to see recently quite a lot of attention towards this topic, both just from reading up on stuff. Our friend, startup psychologist Noah Matz, has been sort of leading part of that thought leadership, and I really enjoyed reading some of her stuff. We can put it into our notes for the show. But also, we've been asked with Nadeem now actually 3 times. We haven't really done it yet, but it was interesting that there was a frequency of ask to start talking about the dynamic of co-founders and also the life partner, business partner, the another layer of it. So I'm happy. I'm happy about that, because as for all the reasons that we listed, it is such an important source of energy as well as stress for us as people. So yeah, that's good. Good to see.
Is this a good moment to talk about our recent guest episode?
Absolutely. Let's do that. And I think you already mentioned few sort of bridges there around, especially when you spoke about the stress. That was one of the things that stood up for me. But why don't you hit it off? Like, why don't you start?
So this episode goes live after we released a conversation we had with Dr. Ute Stefan, who is one of the rare researchers on the subject of mental health and entrepreneurship. Who's been trying for a long time to bring the subject to the surface, but the pandemic also accelerated the interest and the appetite. And I remember participating in the beginning, so in the middle of 2020, on a webinar on the subject run by King's College and her and Ludo, who was part of our team for a while. But having like a deeper conversation with Ute was quite eye-opening, because she said some things that were just, if you just phrase them very bluntly, are quite shocking. And for me, the things that stayed with me is like, stress ultimately is a killer. And as a startup founder, you experience more stress than as somebody who is not building their own business. And if you take that sentence in isolation, you kind of go, what am I going to do? It's quite scary, right? It was a wonderful conversation. And the interesting thing is that there's increasing data to support this, right? And this was the interesting thing. So I really enjoyed that conversation, but also thought we haven't had an academic conversation in a while. So bringing in the perspective of somebody who's looking at it ultimately dispassionately and going, these are the data to support this, I think is super important. How did you find the conversation? What stayed with you?
I found it refreshingly insightful. I think I would put it in the similar bucket as our conversation with Dr. Michael Freeman, which you guys have heard us talking about a lot in the last few years. I think just as you said, just the fact that there are dedicated researchers looking into the subject of understanding the correlation between well-being and mental health and entrepreneurship is something that I celebrate. So that was one. I think there was a lot of empathy to how she started the journey. When Ute mentioned that when she started, no one was interested. No one was interested in the subject, and the doors were closed. And only after a long period of time and also her dedication, people started opening up in this sort of space that we operate within today, where this topic is much more normalized. And actually, I feel like the ecosystem, and we are more hungry for actual data, which I still feel like we don't have enough. It's much easier job to do and also to find some funding for it. But I think the credit goes to all of those people who've been the pioneers. Mm. So that was a big one. I think in an interesting way, it was also encouragement for us. I think, you know, I felt a little bit of the warmth in the heart, around the heart, just to, I think it is that piece when you do something that you have a strong conviction, strong belief around, and you don't do it for the sake of money. And that's how we started Future Farm. I mean, ultimately, it's really this whole activity around Naked. It's just because we feel that this is just a massive challenge as well as an opportunity and pain for so many people. So that resonated with me. The piece that you said was totally scary, that the piece around saying that working longer hours ultimately leads to earlier death. Yeah, that was like, whoa, slap on the face. Especially because I was re-listening to the conversation today in the morning, and confession to me just today, which is not to be done with any sort of pride, is that yesterday was a really hard day and night for me, and I slept 2 hours, not even. It was a mix of both personal and work. And there was some small sort of anxieties popping up. And then I was listening as I was taking a shower in the morning. I was re-listening to this episode, and I was like, okay, there you go. You know, there you go. Like one day down. But joking aside, I think the piece where she says very openly that we glamorize this profession so much, but she said that it seems like from all the data, this is actually quite hard to be happy as an entrepreneur, even though you love what you do, because there is so much of recognition, I guess, that comes in, or the reward from creating impact. If you succeed in that way, right? Whether that's by sort of guiding, mentoring your people, or creating impact with your products and business. But that was the last part, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this, is the fact of the dichotomy, the paradox of the fact that you can be stressed, but you can also still love what you do and you can feel well. That was interesting how to make sense of that.
Yeah, that's absolutely one of the main things that stayed with me, is this, we all do this, and people, that's the thing that people don't understand, because we're visibly stressed. Because we've submitted to a way of life. And it comes with the intrinsic motivation that we talked about before. So the driver to do this is different. And therefore, the feeling of happiness and fulfillment comes from a different source. But ultimately, we're holding both. We're holding, hey, I'm actually fulfilled, but I'm also super stressed together. And for a lot of people who haven't embarked on an entrepreneurial path, this doesn't make sense. The other thing, and it's kind of funny, because when I think back up the conversation with Michael Friedman, I always go back to the one question at the end, which is, do you care about entrepreneurs and people as people? Mm-hmm. The one thing that really stayed with me at the end with Ute was that entrepreneurs tend to isolate themselves, and how important it is to nurture these relationships that are not relationships directly related to the business. And I don't think anybody expressed this as clearly as Ute did in this conversation. Because when we talk to people and said, look, and we have got this joke, when we do sessions, it's like the three S's or the four S's, and one of them is sharing. So I always encourage people to share, but I never put the focus as strongly on, this is not just about sharing that you're going through a difficult time, but actually don't neglect your relationships. This is going to be one of the big things that will come back to bite you, but it's also the first thing, or one of the first things that goes when you start a startup, is you focus on your work relationships, you focus on the hustle and all the other things, and friends, family, people who can be your your net slowly disappear, right? And that was a big thing that I thought about. There's all other perspective, which is I get stressed by neglecting these relationships. I make an effort to maintain them and then I can't, but that's a different story.
I hear you. I was thinking about that support system as well. Also in the context, a little bit different context, which came up in one of my conversations at the event last Saturday here in Karachi, which was an event about Web3, but for an interesting reason, they put together a panel on founders' well-being. So they called me for it, and another serial entrepreneur slash investor was with me. And we went into the topic of speaking about loneliness, and somehow we got into on the subject of solo single founders. And I think that's what also resonated with me from the conversation with Ute, is that I really think it's a unique sounds positive, but I mean it now unique in terms of, or maybe it's neutral, but unique I meant in this way. I think it's tough.
Just put it as it is, right?
Place to be solo founder. So I feel that the point that you made about creating the net, I feel like multiplies in terms of importance for people who are in this alone. Because when she was going through the list, which was quite overwhelming to listen to, that you can't talk to your team, to investors, not really, to your peers, founders, not really, they might be your competition or take your place, right? And then she said, people at home, well, at some point they also get tired. And so she said, well, if you have a co-founder, you're the lucky one. If you don't, and then I was like, wow. So there was heaviness around. So I think I said on the event that I think there is a special place in heaven for solo founders. I hope that, you know, people pay attention to themselves when they're on this journey, sort of alone, because I really think it's not an easy one. Yeah. Yeah, it was, deep breath. But I guess I was just thinking about that whole conversation. Sometimes it's really, I feel like it's really important, and hence why I said refreshing, to talk to someone who looks at this from a bird and much more systemic perspective. And I think that's why I really enjoyed it. And I was grateful that we were able to have her on Naked. And I hope that you guys enjoyed it as well. If you haven't, please go into the episodes and listen. Because the next one that are coming are heavy loads of many founder stories. I'm not spoiling anything, but yeah, they are.
No, absolutely. This is our first guest episode in a while. So I'm super excited. It's also nice to, well, a lot has been happening in the last few months, and more people actually create spaces for this conversation. You've had your panel in Karachi. I've been on a bunch of events where you wouldn't expect normally to have that conversation. I think it's also partly different for me. People ask me, do you want to come and talk? And I go, yeah, can I talk about this? And people go, oh, I thought you're going to talk about the stuff that we know you for. And I go, no. I really don't want to talk about corporate innovation anymore or Radish or whatever. I really want to talk about the subject of, I actually don't remember if we talked about this in the last episode, but when I was in Cyprus for the Cyprus FinTech Summit, we had a really interesting conversation about both entrepreneurial well-being, but also looking after your employees in a business. So we were representing different perspectives, different angles. And it was a session in the afternoon, by which point a lot of people had left, because that's what happens at events. And everybody who was in the room came up afterwards and said, this should have been so much earlier in the day. And I had to say, you know what? I'm glad that it happened for the first time, feed it back to the organizers. And we've seen this in other markets where the conversation maybe started a little bit earlier, that is slowly moving up in the list of priorities, right? And maybe it's also a good moment just to give a big shout out to Beyond Ventures, who ran yesterday, a big event in Frankfurt that we were supporting. And unfortunately, I couldn't be there, which was the first time we had a dedicated event around mental well-being and entrepreneurship in the country, right? And this is driven by Christian Figo, who's just this wonderful man who did his own research on the subject, and on the back of it, decided to do something about it. He works for Tech Quartier, which is a a kind of community organization and startup mechanism, like the biggest in the region. So they created space for that. We had our friends from Massawa being there to talk about their experience and other people who all have a view. We are now talking to the Founders Pledge out of the US, who is looking to do something in that space and supporting there. We're still working with our friends at BMW Foundation, and I'm going to be talking to their current cohort in the Accelerator. So there's more room being made, but also the voices are getting louder. But when we had the conversations with the people from the Founders Pledge, there was also an element of, we also need to be very mindful that this doesn't become the next fashion and people tick that box and then move on. So it has to also come with a commitment to action, because that's really what makes a difference, right? So exciting times, and it's great that we're talking more. Okay, so I realize I've talked a lot, but just a bracket. Yesterday was World Mental Health Day.
Yes.
And I had a bunch of people saying, are you not going to do anything about it? Like, I had private messages saying, I haven't seen you posting something from the Future Farm for World Mental Health Day. And I thought about this, and I thought, no, actually, because we talk about mental health every single day. Yesterday was the day where everybody else will do a post. And sometimes it's amazing stories and people using this as their moment to come out with a story. And this is great. And this is maybe the forum for them to do that. Our commitment is really just to honor this conversation every time we talk about it and every time we have the opportunity to speak to somebody. So I was very comfortable with us not making a big thing out of World Mental Health Day, in the same way that Pride Month comes and goes, but the problems of the LGBTQ plus community continue on a day-to-day basis, right? So,
yeah, that resonates.
Yeah.
That resonates. sometimes the break is longer than expected, but it's needed. Good. I think it's been a great episode to reflect on, or a great conversation. And I'm looking forward to what's coming. Yeah. So stay tuned. Do let us know if you have any topics that you would like us to talk about. We are always sort of open, and we've got some suggestions that we are actually implementing. So that's brilliant. Thank you guys for that. More naked is coming your way. So
yes, and as a reminder, we're now always on video on YouTube with subtitles. So if you don't want just to listen to us, but want to see these faces, then tune into our YouTube channel.
Wonderful.
It's good to talk to you.
So, likewise. So stay well, everyone. Stay naked, and see you in a few weeks.
See you next time. Bye.
Ciao. Bye-bye.
If you love our conversations, we would really appreciate it if you subscribe, follow, and rate Naked on your podcast platforms and our YouTube channel. By doing so, you'll help us reach those who need to hear about us. This episode is brought to you by Vladimira Brestenska and Nektarios Liolios, and produced by Backspace.